reading today comes from the 19th chapter of Luke, starting at the first verse. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was of little stature.
And he ran forward, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was passed that way.
And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto Zacchaeus, "Make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house."
And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully.
And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham."
For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Oh, Father, we praise you and we thank you that you have called us to yourself. You've come to seek us, and you come to save us, and you make us different. You change us, you make us new, and we glorify your name. You are welcome in this place. Today, have your way. Show us, help us, lead us, guide us. Be at home in this place because we, your children, are here with you. We thank you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. For he has created all things, and for his pleasure were and are all things created. This day may we be for your pleasure, Lord. May you have obvious pleasure because we love you, we praise you, we seek you, and we are asking that even right at this moment, you would teach us, that you would help us, that you would show us your truth, that your glory might be spread throughout all of the earth. Praise your name. You are holy, holy.
God of wonders beyond.
Today comes from the 19th chapter of Luke, at least that's where we're going to start. There's a lot too, sometimes just a little story, a little remembering of an event that happened. And it tells you so much about our God, and it tells us so much about ourselves. What kind of soil are you? What are you? What kind of dirt are you? What's the dirt on you? And how do you behave? How do you relate to God? In the 19th chapter of Luke, we pick up the story of Jesus. He's been approaching toward Jericho, and he's now going through Jericho. When he approached to Jericho, he was, as everybody heard the tumult going by, it was a noisy thing. There was this blind man that said, "What's going on? What's going on?" And they said, "Well, Jesus is passing by." And as he passed by, he said, "You know, thou son of David, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. Told the guy, be quiet, Jesus passing by, you don't bother him. "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. To realize that you are blind, to realize that you cannot see, to realize that you have been destined to stumble through this life with not having all of the stuff that other people might have because you have a handicap, they call it, or something that doesn't line up with the regular algorithms of life. This you're messed up in a way, and it's frustrating. And Jesus says, well, what do you want me to do about it? Jesus is asking you, what do you want me to do about your situation? What do you want me? How do you want me to enter into your life? How do you want to be associated with me? What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight, that I might see. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved you. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. So there is this buzz around Jesus' traveling party. And now he is in verse 1 of chapter 19, and he says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. He was the chief among the publicans. The publicans were often people appointed by Rome to collect taxes. They were tax collectors, and he was the chief of them. He was the guy that Rome dealt with directly, and Zacchaeus then hired other tax collectors to go out and do the job. And the way that they made money was to say, how much do you want, Rome? Rome gave them a figure, and then they took that figure and added their overhead to it. Sometimes a little more maybe than was fair or necessary, but they added theirs to it. And this publican, Zacchaeus, had gotten rich. He was a rich man. Verse 3, and he sought to see Jesus. He had heard about this Jesus. You know, sometimes we forget that even people that we don't like, even the people that are not our kind of people, even the people that are doing things the way that we wouldn't think, even people that don't necessarily think like us, they want to know about Jesus too. They want to know, is there really a Savior? They want to know, is there really a miracle worker? They want to know, is there someone who can change my life? My life may seem good to you, but you don't live in my shoes. You don't live in the shoes of a man who was separated from his community because of the work that he chose to do. A man that people always, every time they saw him, they didn't hardly want to speak to him. They didn't want to be around him. Only people who wanted to be around him were cheats and people that were trying to get over on everybody. And Zacchaeus, this short little man, was there, and he had a life that seemed good, and maybe he was rich, but all his rich, all of his power didn't complete him. He wasn't satisfied, and he still wanted to see Jesus. He sought Jesus who he was, and he could not see, could not for the press because he was little of stature. Some of us old enough to remember that song, Zacchaeus is a wee little man. Yeah. So we got this little man that was just wanted to see. And he's used to people, you know, moving out of his way, but not this crowd. This crowd was packed around the one that he wanted to see. So he was a smart guy. He says, I know the way that he's got to go. So he runs to this tree and he hustles up into the tree. This man of dignity and stature, and does this totally undignified thing. He ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, Jesus looked up and he saw him and he said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste. Hurry up now. Come on. Make haste and come down, for today I must abide in your house. That's kind of a shock. What an amazing thing for somebody, a celebrity, to invite themselves to your house. Someone so special that everybody was following, and he wants to stop at your house. And he kind of invites himself in, you know? Here, this dignitary is inviting himself into the house. And Zacchaeus, he says, okay. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. He was so happy Jesus was coming to see him. Can't you think of it? Think of somebody that you admire. Think of someone really special, someone really important. And suddenly they say, I'm going to be at your house today. And you're going, did you close that door before we left? You know, but you're saying, I got to have. And, you know, we get that way. And he said, this is what got me. This verse got me, this next verse. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Now, at first I thought, well, yeah, the Pharisees would do that kind of thing. The Pharisees, when they saw all this, they were just being judgmental. And now they were just doing their Pharisee thing. They were judgmental anyway. But do you know, the scripture doesn't say it was the Pharisees. Kind of says it was the whole crowd that was watching this thing. It was the whole crowd. And I began to think, could we be like that too? Could it be that when a dignitary wants to stop at our house, everybody else is going, well, why'd he go there? You know, an evangelist comes in and decides to stay at our house. Well, why'd he go there? Who is she? You know, a dignitary stops. And why did they go there? I don't mean to judge, but that person's not living a good life. I don't mean to think that I'm better than them, but I'm better than them. Why'd they go there? I wanted him. Why didn't he come to my house? All the people we passed by, he could have gone to anybody's house. Why'd he go to Zacchaeus' house? Why'd he even stop? He stopped and spoke to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus didn't even call him or anything. He was there hanging out in the tree. Undignified. I had my best clothes on. And so everybody's murmuring. And while everybody else is murmuring, Zacchaeus couldn't have helped but notice the disdain. How hurt he must have been. But instead of getting mad, instead of acting out, I don't need him to come by. Instead of that, he said, Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, look at this. The half of my goods, I'm gonna give up half of my fortune. I'm a rich man, and I'm giving half of it away right now. I'm going to give it to the poor because I've heard that you care about the poor. I've heard that you care about those in need. So I'm giving half of everything that you've allowed me to have because you're a sovereign God. I'm giving that to support the poor. Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and I have taken any, and if I have taken anything from any man, anything from any man by false accusation, if I twisted the truth and robbed them, if I said the wrong thing and I've hurt them, not only am I going to give back, I will restore to him fourfold, four times what I took. I'm going to give it back. What an amazing thing. What an amazing thing for all those in the audience thinking, he ripped me off. I'm going to make it back. Could he really be telling the truth? Am I hearing this right? And Jesus said unto him, this day, right now, is salvation come to this house? For as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Amen. Son of Abraham. Have you ever stopped to think about that whole thing for a while? You're thinking, yeah, son of Abraham, he's a Jew. Oh, no, that's not what he means. See, a son of Abraham is one who believes like Abraham. You see, Abraham was a man of faith. And if you believe like Abraham believed, then you are a son of Abraham. God said, Abraham believed and was counted to him for righteousness. The belief in the King of Kings, the belief in the Lord of Lords, the belief in the Messiah, that makes you a son of Abraham. We've got some son of Abraham right here in this house, in this place, because we believe. Do you believe? Think about it. Think about it. Today is that day. Has salvation come to your house? Do you believe? Are you a son of Abraham? Oh, come on now. You got to think this thing through. Do you believe? Without faith, it's impossible to believe him, but he gives us this faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the substance that you can be changed, that you can be delivered, that you can be made different, that you can have the necessities of your life. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You having faith is evidence that Jesus has initiated a relationship with you. The Spirit of the living God has called you. He has delivered you. How did Jesus know Zacchaeus could be one to be counted upon? Because he had faith. He believed. And he demonstrated with his life. You could see it. You could see it. James talks about You know, you say you have faith, but I'm going to show you my faith. I'm going to act in line with the truth of God. Now, we know it's by grace you are saved through faith, but that not of yourselves. It's a gift. He has to give it to you. It's a gift of God, not of you working it up. Not of works, because if I could do it on my own, I'd boast. Yes, I had faith, and Jesus stopped in my place. I had faith, and because I had faith, Jesus decided that he would abide with me, and throughout life, because I'm able to hold on to faith, he'll be with me. No, no, no. He abided in me. My word abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be given unto you. You can have faith, but that faith was something that was given you by God. It's by grace, by grace, by grace you are saved, not of your works. So none of us can boast, for we are made by him to do his will. We've got to decide, how are we responding to the way that he gives us faith? Faith comes by hearing. By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When Jesus wanted us to understand that, he said it another place. Let's go there now. Let me tell you this before we go. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Chew on that, okay? Chew on that. Think about that for a minute. The Son of Man, Jesus, is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now let's go to Mark. Mark, the fourth chapter. Because there was a story I could not get away from as I was studying for this. It was fascinating because it made me ask the question, what kind of soil am I? What kind of dirt am I? How prepared am I to receive what God is putting out there? Verse 1, and he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land, and he taught them many things by parables, and he said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, listen to me, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured up the wayside where everything is packed in and nothing ever, it just bounced off. You know, we got Teflon people, you know, it just slid right off. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and it became, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some of us, our lives are so stony and messed up that the word of God doesn't penetrate very well. And when it does penetrate, it doesn't seem to be able to root itself. And why is that? Because we've got the stones of circumstance in our life. We've got the stone of pain in our life. We've got the stone of hurt in our life. It just does not make any kind of lasting hold. So we see people that cry and feel and all of that, but almost immediately they seem to be turned away. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. I'm afraid this is where I think most people in churches are. There's word going forth. There's word out there. But there's life that they're living that is choking their pure devotion to God. There's stuff that comes up in their lives that distracts them, that pushes them away, that pulls them down, that wraps them up and keeps them from being effective and glorifying God. Let's finish this real quick. And the other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive. That's always scary to me, and it's always scary when I see people that are here but that or in a congregation or in a place but that they're not getting it. They seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Oh my. And he said, know ye not this parable, and how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. So that's clear. That's the word of God that's being sown by the Spirit of God. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time, and afterward when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Easily offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, the stuff that's good and bad, up and down, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and becometh unfruitful. It's like the algorithms of this world are set against us. There are formulas. This is almost like a mathematical formula. You know, just you've heard your phone. If you talk about something, not too much later, it pops up that your phone is advertising it to you. You've seen it. You've seen your tablet that if you play a certain game, that just as you are about to lose and about to close down, you start winning and winning and winning and winning and winning and winning. And so after a few hours, you are there still. It grabs you. It holds you. You see, the cares of the world are like that. Just like you're settling into Jesus and the cares of the world grab your heart. For some, it could be something like a pornography. For some, it could be family. For some, it could be job. There's just so many ways that the world elicits your attention, grabs you, holds you, keeps you from pure devotion to God. Oh, it doesn't make you say you're not a Christian. It just makes it so that you don't have any energy to be a Christian. Pick something. Maybe it's a game you play. Look how many hours you spent What could you have done with that 8 hours last week? And you're going, it's not 8 hours, isn't it? Your Facebook friends, some you have never met, will not miss you. All right. So gone to meddling here. You can lose your job over that kind of thing. All right. So there's just a reality that Jesus has come to seek and to save the lost. Is that what you're here to do? Have you been seeking? Have you been sharing the word of God so that he might save the lost? Have you been a conduit, or have you been your energy sifted off? Your energy divided. He's calling us today. To allow him to work through us to seek the Zacchaeuses, the people that we didn't even think could be saved, the people that we didn't even think would hear. Will you look up and see who's seeking God around you? So that you might speak the truth and the lost might be saved. It starts with you knowing him and admitting sin. Those things that are not necessarily sinful on the face of them, if they have distracted you from doing what God has called you to do, they are sin. They're idols. Crush them, burn them, kick them out of your life. But it starts with a devotion to him. Would you bow your head with me? Dear Father, I am devoted to you. I know that you have called, so now I answer. I know that you've empowered, so now I do. I surrender. I give myself willingly. Oh, the world's riches, you provided them for me. But they do not satisfy. I need you. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today God is dealing with you. And you know it. I don't have to make a lot of I just have to tell you, today is the day. Surrender yourself to him. Today you can.